verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And that is the key right there. There are some of you who do not believe. Not only who don't understand what I'm saying, but the reason behind it, because you do not believe. Why? Because you're seeing as men see, and you're not seeing as Yahweh sees. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew, and were not walking with him anymore. They couldn't take it. It's just too much for them. They weren't going to go this far. So Yahshua said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Master, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. And this is what we say. Who are we going to go to? Who are we going to turn to? Yahweh has words of eternal life. In Yahshua the Messiah are the words of eternal life. So there were some disciples who were taking him entirely too literally. They were intellectually lazy. They did not want to make the effort to meditate on what Yahshua was saying. And as a result, they missed out on a blessing. And they probably weren't believing from the beginning, as Yahshua noted. They missed out on a blessing. And possibly even eternal life. Yahweh knows. The teachers of the law, the scribes and Pharisees of Yahshua's day, had this same tunnel vision manner of thinking. And we could go to several examples. We won't for time's sake. But you know the various accounts when they would try to trip Yahshua up, or they would misinterpret something that he said, whether deliberately or whether because they simply didn't understand, because their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened, and they chose not to understand. As faithful servants of Yahweh, we must see beyond the senses, brethren, if we are to be encouraged in the midst of troubles and problems that we face on a daily basis. And some of those problems can seem quite large and strong, some of them even larger than life. When we lose a job and no longer have an income, or when we don't have two nickels to rub together, and the creditors want to come after us, even as we don't have enough to feed our families, and when we suddenly face a serious illness, or when our relationships seem to be falling apart around us, with our spouses, or with our children, or with our closest of friends, and on we could go with the various situations that confront us, the various situations which cause our names to be put on that prayer list. When those things happen, brethren, and they happen to all of us, the problems tend to be larger than life. They certainly seem so. And we, in our human condition, and it's understandable and we all do it, we tend to react like the Israelites as they stared at Canaan from the outside looking in. They are giants in the land. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. You remember that? Yes, we face many giants in the land, brethren. And that is normally our reaction. We face many giants in the land. But I remember someone else who faced a giant. 1 Samuel 17. And by the way, my sermon today isn't to make us feel somehow deficient if we think this way. No, on the contrary, this is to point out that we all feel this way, brethren. We all feel this way. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be to feel down on. We all feel this way. But we need to rise above it if we're going to survive, if we're going to make it through this world, if we're going to make it through these trials and these difficulties. We will need to face the giants. It's an inevitable part of living. 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 1. Here's someone who faced the giant. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Soko and Anazekah and Aphistamin. So you can picture this mighty Philistine army. And by the way, the Philistines, some scholars say, were related to the Greeks. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. So if you can picture this, you know, you have one mountain ridge, another mountain ridge crossing the way, facing, and then a deep valley in the middle there. And there are these two armies on either side. So you can picture the magnitude of this scene, almost like an epic movie. You can see all the armies around. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. Now, I haven't done the conversion here, but let me tell you that 5,000 shekels of anything, okay, or 5,000 of anything is going to be pretty heavy, okay? This was heavy stuff.